Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 for four verses. I want to use that as my points this morning. I try to move right along and not take a lot of time. My mind was mixed quite a bit as I thought about sharing today. As my family's grown up, I've seen the next generation. I'm not as great as Brother Joe, but I'm coming, Joe. If I live long enough, I might make it someday. So I'm not a great grandparent yet, but I'm a grandpa, and it's not a bad place to be. It's okay. You're special. But this morning, the message is concerning the family. Before you're going to have great children or honest children, I guess, you're going to be Christian mom and dads and know how to teach them. Amen? And, a lot of times people, before I read this, we expect way too much from our children. Guy told me here the other day, and it's been a while back, probably 6 months ago, a person come to me from a church setting, and he said, you know, what do you do, Sam? He says, all my children want to do is watch video games and play video games, electronics. That's all they want to do. And I see some parents sitting here this morning and shaking their head, that's true. Guess what? I preached a message on that probably about a month later, and I challenged the people who buys it for them. It comes right back on mom and dad. You're going to stand before the Almighty God and give an account for your children and how you teach them. That's the Word of God. And also the Word of God talks about in Ephesians chapter 5 about how the husband is supposed to love his wife. Do you know in your home that there's more caught than taught? I knew my dad by the expressions on his face. I grew up in a good home. I could tell how Dad treated my mom by the way she looked. I knew what was going on without words. I was a little boy, and I wasn't any smarter than you were. Unkind words should never be spoken in a Christian home. Laughter, absolutely. Those walls need to be filled with laughter and joy. Jesus is not only Lord on the Sabbath, he's the Lord 7 days a week. He wants to help us. I preach pretty plain, in case you didn't know that, for guys that don't know me. The way I believe is the way I preach. And here it is. I want to go to first four verses for my points this morning. I want to bring out, I got some more scripture I want to use. The first four verses talks about this. The Apostle Paul was not a married man. He wrote Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. By the way, he wrote 13 books in the New Testament and once persecuted the church. How do you like that? That's amazing. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I always wondered why he puts that first. Then it goes to the next one. It almost seems a little bit backwards. It says, then honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4. Notice this verse. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What if it would read, ye mothers, provoke not your children to wrath, but it don't? How come? There's a difference in compassion. Dads get down on the floor and tease them, sometimes too long maybe. I probably was guilty over that because I raised two sons and two daughters, Martha and I did. Yea, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To go back to children, obey your parents in the Lord. I like to... I want to say also, I really appreciate the Sunday school time that we had this morning. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It was brought out this morning in our Sunday school. Goes right along with this. The Old Testament, I had to think when the brother was sharing, our teacher, was sharing and other thoughts that were brought in. I really appreciated it. The Old Testament is like a schoolmaster bringing us to Christ. That's what it's for. And a lot of times, if we want to use control or bring up the law, we go to the Old Testament. And we say, well, it's all Bible. Well, Paul, I believe it was Paul that said that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster bringing us to Jesus. And I believe that. And I want to live that way. In verse 4, he says, in chapter 6 in Deuteronomy, verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Now, this is to the parents. This is to the grown-up people, the people that have responsibilities and know right from wrong, that have made their choices. This is what he said. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might. These words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in your heart." He's still talking about the parents. Then verse 7 it says, "And thou shalt teach them." Now the children come in. That's what I love about this. And it says, "Now you teach them." First he got the parents convinced that they need to know God and serve him in every day. Then he says, "Now teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk, when thou talk of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them before a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes." Verse 9. "Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates." We'll stop there a little bit. You know, I've wondered a lot of times over the years, I don't know how you guys grew up. I may just share a little bit of my background. I'm not going to do a lot of it. But I always wondered why, I may ask if you ever done that, but I always wondered why Dad in the morning, before we ate, we all as a family, there was 10 of us, before we ate our breakfast, everybody was up and we kneeled and Dad prayed. He prayed out of a book. Then before he went to bed at night, I think he got it here. Before we went to bed at night, we all knelt down and we had a prayer. Dad prayed again out of a book. Then we all went to bed. Those were special times, even though I didn't understand it. And I still don't understand some of the prayers that were prayed. I don't. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyone? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there's some shaking heads going on. Right. You know, I believe that's where my dad got this. I really do. Now, you may wonder, well, should we take the Ten Commandments and teach them to our children? I'll get there in a little bit, okay? The point I want to bring out this morning is, what are you doing when you're spending time with your children? Do you buy them videos to entertain them so you can get away from them? Are they a bother to you? Just think about it. I know you are. Are children a bother to you? They shouldn't be. It wasn't meant that way. When God blessed you with children, they're a blessing, people. Do they make you angry at times? That's possible. Would you sell them? Would you want to get rid of them if you could? Think about it. A lot of people do. That is why God taught the parents. He says, this is how what he said. Verse 7. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." How should he do it? "You shall talk with them. You shall speak it with your mouth." Words. Talk to them about it. You figure, well, they're too young. No, they're not. I still remember things that happened when I was 5 years old. How about you? And 6, a lot of things I remember at the age of 6. That's been a few years ago. So did you, and so are your children. How come parents think that children are not as smart as what they were when they were young? They don't know any better. Yeah, they do. They're just as smart as you were. I'd maybe smarter because of all electronics that are available today. sharpen iron with iron, you know. They know what's going on. There is no doubt. That's why you need to fill that mind with Word of God. Absolutely, because things will come. Things will come their way, and the parents are the ones that should teach them. Absolutely. That's God's Word, people. Not babysitters, not home care centers and all these places. Things are completely have changed around when we were young, when our children were small. Mom and Dad had the children, they raised them. Today, somebody else is raising the children. Maybe not be here, I don't know. I know it's not that way in my family here. I know Jolene stays home most of the time. Most of the time, I talk with her on the phone. She's on the road somewhere, but she's home quite a bit, you know. But she's not a working mom, I don't think, Tom. Tom is out there shaking his head, but Tom's a good provider, you know. Anyhow, put gas in that van so he can travel. That's all right. It says, you know, when you sit down in the house, how are we doing? When you're sitting down in your house, do you take any time off at all and talk to your children? Back over about a month ago, we had the 40th anniversary, and all the children came home. It was a very special time in our house. There was some entertainment going on. I'm the dad in that house. I said, shut everything down. I want to talk to the children. I want to see the grandchildren. I want to drink it all in. Because they drive 11 hours to come home. You know, there's nothing that will take the place of that, regardless what's on. What kind of video you put on or whatever. I want to be with the family. I love family. And there's nothing would take the place. And I think we had some discussions. We had laughter. A lot of times our family, you know, I don't know how it happens, but we end up singing. You know, that's just the way we always were. And we love singing. And it's a little different now since we don't have the farmhouse. That's where everybody grew up. That's where they were raised. And we moved about a year, almost 2 years in February. We quit that kind of work and doing something else now. That's all right. We felt God's leading. But it was kind of tough, not only on us. It was hard on everybody because it was home. And I'll get to that a little bit later. Talk with them. Even when you're taking a walk. I remember the times that one of my daughters, I got my two daughters here today, but one of my daughters, I took them hunting. And I remember little daughter told me on the way home, he was real small, and she didn't have a gun, but we watched a squirrel, and while we were sitting there, we seen two deer or three. And the way home, she thanked me 6 times, just taking time all alone with my daughter. How you doing, Dad? You think about it. They grow up so fast. Tears will never bring them back. Tears will never make them young. You have that moment, use it for the glory of God. I enjoyed my children very, very much. We were together every day. They know me. I know them. We talked. Another time, one of my daughters were heading for the barn. It was time to milk. And one of them was with me. And she said, I said, no, look, in the east, there's a rainbow. Beautiful rainbow. And she asked me, at the age of 5, she says, what's a rainbow, Dad? It was time to hit the milkers. I stopped right there and explained it to her. And she never asked again. Talk with them when you walk, when you sit, when you're done at night, when you rise up in the morning, talk with them. There's nobody can do it like Mom and Dad. Nobody will take the second place. A lot of people do. But it comes from Mom and Dad, it's settled. God bless you with children this morning, parents. It's what I like to stir your mind. I reverse that. A lot of people blame children today. I tell you what, Mom and Dad, God is holding you accountable. You have children on your lap this morning sitting beside you. They're no accident. They're for you to train for Jesus. That was great what happened here this morning with TJ, Jerry. Love it. But that's only a small thing. That's only words and a blessing. That's all right. We do the same thing. But it's a lifetime commitment. Lifetime. And you know what? We have an enemy this morning. The reason that it's written, like this, we have an enemy that's got his arms out. I want your children. I want them. He's called the devil. He wants to destroy every one of your children. He don't want them to go to heaven. And I think especially that way, so many children suffer today, is for the reason, the broken homes, is for the reason that Jesus called a little child to him. And he's totally against Jesus, number one. He's fighting him. When he brought Jesus, brought those little children, just like they came up here this morning, and we blessed them. It's a gift from God. Jesus used the little children, the greatest in the kingdom. Be converted and become as his little child, or you ain't going to heaven. It's that simple. It's that simple, people. So if any hard hearts here this morning, you need to get them softened up like a child. And get ready for the day that Jesus is coming back. We have examples in the Word of God that we can follow. See, the time's moving on and I'm not. Okay. I want to go to the next one, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 4. There's a lot more that could be said there. Ephesians chapter 4, it says honor. I talk a little bit about honor. We have a lot of young people here in the front benches. Even married folks, do you honor your parents? Yeah, the Bible says, we get this mixed up a lot of times. People think once you're married, if it was that way, I guarantee it that my daughters would be living in Pennsylvania, not too far from us. But I know it don't say that. It says, little children, obey your parents. You saw them up here, okay? Now, I don't know what the age is. It could be different. I'm not going to commit myself to that very thing. It's what age that they're not to obey, but honor. If dad says you're not going to move to South Carolina, there's two young men came up here some years ago, and guess what? They wanted to be part of our family so bad, but they didn't want to stay. But you know what? We blessed them and sent them on. It was hard. It was hard to see my daughters go for Martha and I, but, you know, we blessed them. We didn't make them stay. Now we can come and visit them. So we're glad for them. Lord bless Tommy and Nathan. Appreciate them. Honor. We were talking a little bit this morning. We stayed, we try to hit everybody, you know, when we come. One night we stayed, well, actually we were there two nights, I guess, at Scott and Grace. He pastors the church up at Fairplay. And that's our second son. The oldest one's Gene. He's in Pennsylvania with us here. So we stayed two nights with Scott and Grace and the four children. And then the next time we stayed with Tommy and Jolene, children. And last night we stayed with them, Amanda and Nathan. So we were talking this morning a little bit and said, now, how do you feel about honor? How would you honor your parents? And Amanda, I think it was her that said, I know I don't have to listen to you no more like I once did. Well, that was kind of a shocker, but then again, that's the way it is. You know, you hate to hear it, but it's the truth. And I said, well, how would you honor your dad and your mom? Well, nobody really knew. But guess how they honored us? I said, let's not forget the little things. We slept in their bed last night. We had the best bed in the house. They honored us very, very highly. I think higher than what we expected. And you know what? All of our children did that here. All of them have done that. When they first were married, they slept on the couch, on the floor, they put mom and dad in their bed. I tell you what, I've been honored. What do you think? Honor. And I think, you know, as Martha and I tried to honor her parents and my parents over the years, the children were watching. That's why I oftentimes say there's more caught than taught. They watch you. If you talk constantly bad about your in-laws, wait for your day. It's going to come back and visit you if you live long enough. I really believe that. I believe there's a law of God that what you sow, you will reap. That's the way it is. You need to learn to bless people. The book of Peter, just one verse, you don't need to turn to that. When Peter was talking there in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, honor all men. Honor, the word honor. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. That word honor is a powerful word. And it's saying that you should honor your parents. And I believe my family is. I really do. Two things I look at. You know, when the children leave home, I can put it like out, like a, put my like my antennas out or whatever, and kind of get the feel of the children, how they feel. And a lot of times, every one of them got homesick. And I said, good. If they would not get homesick, there would have been something wrong in our home. Big time. That's one of them. They want to come home. They want to come back. They want to come home. And I think it's a lot of it. It's because we spoke highly, maybe not always in words, especially me. Maybe not always in words, but I respected my in-laws. I really did. And Martha respected, honored my parents. Never spoke bad about them. And I tell you what, that is really important, people, because there's more caught than taught. The third point I want to bring out is I'm going to put 3 and 4 together. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonishment of the Lord. Admonish them. Talk to them. Goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Talk to them. What do you talk about? Do you think this morning what I want to finish up with now is about Christ? The frontness. What is that? The Word of God. How precious? How precious, church? Young married couples, how precious is the Word of God to you? There was times in my life when I come to church, I brush the dust off. How about you? That's an honest statement. You don't have to say anything. Did all of you parents that have children opened your Bible during the week, last week, and even looked at it? It's a challenge, isn't it? We're living in a time where we're almost too busy. We study for Sunday school. We study to preach. We study because we have to. It shouldn't be that way. We come together and we want to learn how to sing these songs so we can impress the people when we have praise time. Practice is good, but where is your heart? King Jesus said this. He says, the people praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That is the way the church is going. The churches are emptying out. I don't know about South Carolina, but Pennsylvania, they're building prisons that are big enough for having 2 football games going at one time. Big, awesome, big buildings for sinners, murderers, lawbreakers that come. They were once a little baby of joy in the arm of mama, what Jolene and Tommy had this morning. Something's not right. Something's wrong, folks. Martha and I do some prison work up north. By our surprise one time, there's a lady come in there that had a veil on. You know how it is, a mind spins, you know, and it goes and it goes and it goes. Well, somebody got her converted and got her talked into her veil. That was not the case. When she committed the crime, she had probably had one on. When she used the shotgun on her husband, she probably had her veil on. Broken homes. Guess who suffers? The children had to do without a mom, and they lost their dad for 5 years. They were alone because of sin. Why should we teach them now? Now come back. Just go back with me in a step to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Why should we talk to them in the morning and noon, at night, and when they lay down? Because people, those cute little fellows that were up here this morning, I saw them again this week. I forget sometimes. These little blessings, you know, that Jesus said, such is the kingdom of heaven. They will hurt each other. They will pinch each other. They will bite each other. It's in their nature. They need a Savior. We're lost without it. We're not as good as we think. Pride is deceiving. We need to break down those walls and let Jesus rule us. Rule our lives and train our children according by the leading of the Holy Ghost and fire. I believe that more than ever. And through that, you can have a lot of fun with them. It's not dull. The outside person says, what is there so much fun about being a Christian? It's a dull life. It's a busy life. It's a fun life. It's a life of fellowship. We're made for that. God made us for fellowship. God made us to spend time with Him. Where have you been? Have you talked to God? That's, I think, why things happen sometimes the way they do. I want to hear from you folks. I haven't heard from you for a while. Well, I was just in church last Sunday. I was there and I talked to you. God wants to hear from us every day. Amen. We got the voice. We've been saved. We love Jesus. Why don't we? We got the word that will never fail, the greatest book written in America. In the world. Why don't we use it? Maybe all do. But if there's one person at dawn, may the Lord bless you and try to do better. And I want to too. Nurture them. I'd just like for in closing thoughts. I'm not going to turn to that. But I like to do this. That little soul that was up here this morning, little TJ, he's going to come to a place someday that he's going to have to make a choice who he's going to serve. Just like you and I did. Some people don't choose. They think they're good enough without. You know, there was over 2,000 years ago, God sent his son down on his sin-cursed earth. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, and that's us. We think, well, maybe we've always been Christians. Well, we weren't. We were lost. We needed a Savior, and I was one of them. We all were. He said when he sent him down, he was here for 33 years. He preached. He taught. He healed people. He opened the eyes of the blind. He had 12 disciples. And one day he was arrested. When he was arrested, the one man named Peter that said, hey, are you, when Jesus asked him, he says, you're also going to leave us. And when he talked to his disciples, when the people turned from Jesus, he said, you have the words of eternal life. Where can we go? Peter said. There was only a few hours later that Peter cussed and he swore. And he says, I don't know that man, when Jesus was arrested. That shows me the strength of our human frailty. We think we stand. We think we're strong, but we're not. Here was a powerful man that would have fought for Jesus' life. He even pulled a sword out and he cut a soldier's ear off that wanted to arrest Jesus. Jesus picked it up and put it back on. He says, put up your sword. If this was my kingdom, my servants would fight. And as the time went on, he was arrested. He took 39 stripes for you and I. His back was bare And when I think of those things, people, this morning, I think of my grandchildren. I think of my own. And I think of the whole world. The choices that people make is going to make the difference between heaven and a burning hell. It's when they meet up with God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, it is a judgment. We're going to meet a God that has never done anything wrong. We're going to meet a God that is true. We're going to meet a God that is not going to change his mind. He is holy, forever was. We are the guilty ones this morning, people. And he made a way. When Jesus went to the cross, and he suffered like no human ever suffered for you and I, for the whole world. When he was hanging there with his arms stretched out, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." The curtain was ripped top to bottom. It was prophesied there'd be no bones broken in the Savior's body. Roman soldier came before the Sabbath and he checked them all out and he broke the legs of the one on each side of him. He had a sinner on both sides. The greatest sinner they exposed was in the middle. They put Jesus right in the middle. That was the greatest sinner to the eyes of the people. When he went to him to break his legs so he could suffocate and die before the Sabbath, he was already dead. Roman soldier put the spear up in his side. Their blood and water flowed down his side, down the cross, into the ground. That is the only hope for the human race. It's that precious blood. It's that blood that flowed, that fountain was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That song says, "Sinner, plunge beneath that flood and lose all your guilt and stain." It was Jesus. It was the Son of the living God that bought us with his own precious blood. Don't you love him this morning? Children this morning that were up here singing that powerful song about the water, the river. I only heard that a couple of times. It's so beautiful. I just had to think, you know, innocent. They don't really understand what they're singing, but they gave it all they had. Then I asked myself a question. What holds adults back? Somehow we get the idea with our pride that we can do it all without Christ, but we can't. I believe this way, folks, when the time comes that Jesus comes back, he's going to have wrath, fire in his eyes, like it says in Revelation. He's going to come back and he's going to have fire in his eyes, and a sword out of his mouth, like the word of God. I believe every one of us is going to fall on our faces. The Almighty. Think about it. The beauty of it was, when he went back to heaven there in Acts chapter 1, verse about 11, it says that the people were gazing into heaven when he just started going. People were watching him. There's two men of white apparel, it says, that came and stood around him. It says, "Why do you men of Galilee stand gazing into heavens? This same Jesus, as you saw him go, will come back. Same way. One day he's going to be here." And I believe, folks, it's close. I heard that when I was a little boy. But let's say it's closer than it used to be. Time's very ripe for Jesus to come back. When he went back, he said, "You know what? You're going to hear us. You're going to hear from heaven in 10 days, in a short time." 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came rushing in Acts 2. And the Holy Spirit is a comforter. It also draws you from sin and also blesses you. This morning I'm a blessed person, so are you, by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The third of the Godhead, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Pentecost. Jesus says, "I will build my church, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I work with ungodly people now. Where I work, it's so different than what it used to be on the farm. I hear language. And people ask me questions sometimes. But I see what real sin is that I've been delivered from. Once was in it. I've been delivered. Now I'm working back there with these kind of people. My heart bleeds when I think about how many strongholds that Satan has in this country, right in the church. All kinds of sin that is practiced in the church and think God is sleeping. God will never know. We can speak evil about other churches. You can speak evil about the President of the United States, where the Bible rebukes us for it. But we do it. It is wrong. It's going to stand against us in the day of judgment. Think about it. The parents and the grandparents are supposed to be an example for these little bundles of joy that God brings in this world. We're a lot of times the only Bible that is read. I believe Jesus is glorified today by this setting here. And I feel this morning that I need to open it up just a little bit, see if there's a word of confession. Maybe there's someone that just never has accepted Jesus as their Savior. It's not sure. I'd just be honored to pray with you. And there's other brethren or sisters that would. Maybe there's someone here that needs to make a confession. It is the greatest attack that Satan has on our country is the home. Think about it. This morning I'm just going to ask you to stand with me this morning, everyone. As we think of that amazing grace, we can avoid this lake of fire, this burning hell. We're all doomed to go because we're sinners, but Jesus made a way. If you need to pray, come up and kneel at the altar. It's between you and God. If you need someone to pray with you, we'll help you in that. And after that, I'm going to open it for a word of praise or word of confession. Then we'll close the service. Let's sing a verse of Amazing Grace. Prayerfully, with our eyes closed, just let your mind take a trip this morning. Where is your life with Jesus? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. If you need prayer, come forward. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. May God bless you this morning. I'm not a beggar. I'm not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Spirit. You know your life, and I know mine. And Jesus knows it better. Is there anyone here this morning that would just like to say anything this morning? A word of praise or a confession? And anyone? You know the people? Go ahead. Absolutely. Very true. You're smart. Anyone else? You know how the people back in Revelations, you know how they overcame Satan? By the words of their testimony. Don't be shy. Praise the Lord this morning. Just a word or two. Anyone? won't die out. Go ahead. Yeah, very good. Praise the Lord. How are you young people honoring your parents? Are you doing a pretty good job? That's a blunt question. I know it is, but wow, it could get your old mind spinning, don't it? That's very important that you do that. Very important. Okay? I went long when I was going to, but you're done, I'm done. You appreciate your parents this morning, young people? You appreciate your parents? Raise your hand. Will you do that? Look at that. Young married? Yep. How many of you appreciate grandma and grandpa? That should hit everybody. And there's a great grandparents here, probably more than one. How many appreciate them? Great grandchildren. Look at that. Hallelujah. You'll be praised for four generations for their good work in Christ. May God bless you for being here.